I want to welcome you to our broadcast today. We're glad that you tuned in. And as always, we hope it'll be a blessing to you. We're recording this during our morning service at Grace Bible Church here in Chattanooga. And I want to talk today about what I consider the key to understanding your Bible. That's the name of our broadcast, is Understanding Your Bible. That's the name of our website. It's understandingyourbible.com. If you're listening to the radio broadcast and you've not been to our website, I would invite you to do so. We have a lot of resources there as far as information about rightly dividing the word of truth, about our local church here in Chattanooga, and I'll say more about that at the end of the broadcast. But today I want to talk to you about how you can understand your Bible. You know, I remember as a young man, when I started preaching, I kind of had the idea that the Bible was kind of a deep and dark and mysterious book that was really not meant to understand. I remember asking my preacher many times about different verses in the Bible. And if he did not have an answer, he would simply say that there are some things that we're just not meant to understand. And I guess that would be true to a certain extent, but what I found out is that the Bible is not a deep, dark, and mysterious book. The Bible, someone has said, is written in sixth grade English, and it really becomes more an issue of believing the Bible than it does really understanding it. And when we see some keys to understanding the Bible, it makes it much easier to understand the Bible if we follow those keys. One of those keys is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, a verse written to Timothy by our apostle, the apostle Paul. Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, sometimes we're accused of putting too much emphasis on that verse and wrongly dividing the word. But what I want you to understand, to those of you that may be hearing something different and new for the first time, is that everybody divides the Bible somewhere. Most people in religion today at least divide between the Old and the New Testament and understand that we're not under Old Testament doctrine. Now, there are those that try to claim that they are, but most of the time people at least divide there. But there are other divisions in our Bible that we need to pay close attention to. One of those is the difference in prophecy and the difference in mystery information. In Acts chapter 3, Peter is preaching there, and he mentions some things about that's being taught according to prophecy. In Acts chapter 3, he says there in verse 19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." So Peter said the things that he is preaching were things that were spoken by the prophets since the world began. But notice what Paul says in Romans chapter 16 in verse 25. He says, "Now to him that's power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." Well, then we know there must be two bodies of truth. There is a body of truth in your Bible that was spoken since the world began. There's a body of truth in your Bible that was kept secret since the world began. Now, that which was kept secret since the world began was revealed to and through the Apostle Paul. And that's what we want to see in the study today. We want to show in the study here how there's a difference in the doctrine as we progress through what we call the New Testament. The first thing I want to point out to you is that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those books are not doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. Now, are we to read and study those books? Absolutely we are. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we should read and study the entire Bible, Genesis through Revelation. We should know those scriptures. But we should also know and understand that there are things written in our Bible that are not written to us as far as our practice and salvation and so forth is concerned. And that's where so much of the confusion comes in today, is because people don't make that distinction. Even people that preach salvation by grace many times will go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and try to put people under the practices of the law program or the kingdom program, because those things are things that people use in many times to manipulate people into doing what they want them to do to get their money and so forth. So I want us to look at some things in relation to that. Go look in your Bible in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Now, because this is a radio message, I probably will not take time for everybody to find the verses, but you can go back and look at these later. In Matthew 4:23, the Bible says, Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Now, one of the things that we hear a lot in the religious world today is the idea that we are to follow Jesus. Well, if we are to follow Jesus in his earthly ministry, then we would preach the same thing that Jesus preached. And Jesus went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The word gospel simply means good news. The gospel of the kingdom. Look over in Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew 9, 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Then in Matthew chapter 10, we find out that the 12 are set forth in verse 5. They're named in chapter 10, verse 2, 3, and 4. And in verse 5, the Bible says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So Jesus Christ was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He told his disciples to preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, then that must have been the gospel of the kingdom. The good news was, is that the king that you've been awaiting is now here. And he was waiting for national repentance, for the nation of Israel to repent and accept him as the Messiah. And so God kept secret for a time the fact that he was going to die there on the cross. And so he sends them forth preaching this gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He says there in verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, freely give. And what you will find throughout the Bible is in the New Testament is that the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom was always accompanied by signs, miracles, and wonders. Now, if you go over to Matthew chapter 16, in Matthew 16, Jesus Christ revealed something to his disciples that they had not previously known. In Matthew 16:19, speaking to Peter and the disciples, he said, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Now, there's many truths revealed in this passage, but some of the things we see on the surface is that they did not expect, at that point, Christ to die. They expected him to establish a kingdom. So Christ says, I'm going to die. And Peter rebukes him for that. As a matter of fact, Peter is so upset about that he asks a question over in Matthew chapter 19. He says in verse 28, Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed, I'm sorry, let's go back up to verse 27. Matthew 19:27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now notice next verse. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, our brethren, our sisters, our father, our mother, our wife, our children, our lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. That, I would submit to you, is a continuation of the gospel of the kingdom. As a matter of fact, if you back up in the chapter, you'll find where a man came to Christ in verse 16. Behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? And Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, keep in mind that that's in the same chapter that we just read, where Jesus Christ said unto them, everyone that hath forsaken houses, our brethren, our sisters, our father or mother, our wife or children, our lands for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. You see, the confusion that's in the church today, for example, is people are trying to follow the doctrine of the church there in Acts chapter 2, when that is not the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. In the early part of Acts, what did they do? What did those that were saved do? They did exactly what Christ instructed them to do. They sold what they had. They laid at the apostles' feet. They had all things common. They didn't just do that on a whim. They did that because that is what they had been instructed to do. And so the doctrine then for us today is not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you go back and read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, read those chapters sometime when you have a chance. Jesus Christ said, take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat, drink, or put on. That is not instructions for you today. Paul said, if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. You see, folks, things that are different are never the same. And to try to follow the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, particularly when it comes to salvation, does nothing but cause confusion. The same is true with the early part of Acts. Look over in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, Acts is a book of transition from the program of the kingdom gospel. By the way, in Matthew 24, we won't take time to turn there. Matthew 24, verse 14, Jesus Christ said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. So when the 12 meet with him, or the 11 meet with him in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them they should not, verse 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after he had through the Holy Ghost to give him commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen to them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come unto you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, notice what Peter preached in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Now notice what he says. And notice who he's preaching to. Remember when they were sent out, he said, go not into the way of the Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, start in Jerusalem, then Judea, and then Samaria, and then you can go to the uttermost parts of the earth. So, he says there in verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you've crucified both Lord and Christ. Now notice Israel's response. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And if you go back and check out Daniel chapter 9 verse 7, you'll find that those that are far off are those lost sheep of the house of Israel. So that's who they're going to, and the message they are preaching is to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's why today you have a number of denominations that preach and teach what they call baptismal regeneration. They teach that you must be baptized in order to be saved. And they base it on these verses like verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Notice over in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So Israel had rejected the Messiah. They're now being given another opportunity to accept him. And we find out by reading through the book of Acts that they do not, as a nation, accept him as their Messiah. There were 3,000 saved one day, 5,000 another day, but as a nation, they did not accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah. They rejected him and blasphemed the Holy Ghost, as Paul said he did. And yet, in all of that, we heard the verse this morning in Sunday school read, that when they went out from there, they were still going to the Jew only. Peter went to Cornelius at his request, but the rest were going to Jews only. They were following the commission that Christ had given them. But in Acts chapter 9, we have the salvation of a man named Saul. Notice over in Acts 26, we don't have time to read all of the verses, but you have three accounts of Paul's salvation in the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter 26, we have an account of Paul, or Saul, on the road to Damascus. And in Acts 26, he says in verse 13, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, that would be Israel, and from the Gentiles, in whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, consider this. We've talked about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the first four books in your Bible. Then we come to the book of Acts. That's the fifth book in your Bible. After the book of Acts, and by the way, after Acts 15, the very man to whom God said he was going to give the keys of the kingdom, you never find mentioned again from Acts 16 through 28, and that's Peter. There's something to change, folks. There was a change that took place. When you get over to the end of Acts, it ends with Paul being in prison there. And the next 13 books in your Bible, Romans through Philemon, are books written by the Apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." That is not the gospel of the kingdom. He said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And then over in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, Paul tells us what the gospel is. He said it's how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Now notice what Paul says about his ministry in Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, first book that Paul writes in the order in the Scriptures, not the first one he wrote time-wise, but in Romans chapter 11, in talking about God's dealings with the nation Israel, he says in verse 13, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." Then there is no mistaking who God sent as the apostle of the Gentiles. Look in Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15, in verse 8, a verse that people could get a hold of and see would make a great difference. Romans 15, verse 8, Paul says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision." The circumcision is Israel. It's Jews. "I say that Jesus Christ was the minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, 'For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name.'" Now notice down in verse 16, Paul said that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So Paul was separated unto a ministry. Look over in Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, God saved the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, and he gave unto him the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God. And Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now look over in chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 1, "Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation, and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, so whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepted no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Now notice what he says. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. It couldn't be any clearer, folks. There were two separate gospels there. There was the gospel of the circumcision committed to Paul, and it does not say the gospel to the circumcision. It says the gospel of the circumcision and the gospel of the uncircumcision, one to Peter, one to Paul. So check out what Peter wrote, check out what Paul wrote, and you'll see that there's a difference. Why is that important? Because the majority of the religious world today are trying to get saved based on what's written in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And it's not going to work. The only way a person's going to get saved today is by believing the gospel of Christ committed to the Apostle Paul. And that's why it is so important that we rightly divide the word of truth so that we can show people salvation in this present age. Now, we've got 13 books, Romans through Philemon. You get over to the books of Hebrews through Revelation, and what you'll find there is instruction once again to the nation Israel dealing when God is going to resume His program with the nation. You see, God is not through with the nation Israel. Today in religion, most of the time it's taught that the church has replaced Israel. That's what's called replacement theology. God is not through with Israel. God is going to deal once again with Israel after the church has gone. And that's what the books of Hebrews through Revelation speak to. As a matter of fact, if you'll look over to James quickly, James, you'll see something very important there. Number one, who is the book written to? James 1:1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Now what did James say? Look over in James chapter 2, verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. And every person today that believes in a work salvation knows those verses by heart. Now notice what he said. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and they sent them out another way. Now listen, nobody was ever justified by works alone or by keeping the law. Always, in every dispensation, faith is required. But under the program with Israel, that faith was accompanied by works. How do we show forth our faith today? By doing no works. Paul said, if by grace, it is no more of works. That's why we need to rightly divide the word of truth. You go over to Hebrews through Revelation, you're going to find numerous scriptures that talk about people falling away, not being able to renew, and on it goes. But in Paul's epistles, we find the doctrine, the position, the walk, and the means of salvation for the church, the body of Christ. So you want to understand your Bible? You need to rightly divide the word of truth. You want to be saved today? Then believe the gospel of your salvation, the gospel of Christ, how that Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day, and place your faith and trust in what He did at Calvary, and He'll save you. I appreciate you being with us today. I thank you for tuning in. And I want to take this last few moments here to extend to you an invitation to visit with us at Grace Bible Church. We're located at 3827 Hickson Pike here in Chattanooga. We have a first hour Bible study at 10 o'clock. We then meet again at 11 and also on Sunday night at 6 p.m. As we go off the air, Brother Trey Searcy will give you information about how you can contact us, and we'd love to have you come visit with us here in the Chattanooga area. Thank you for being with us.